Good morning and Happy New Year, Symphony Church. We are kicking off the new year with the Book of Esther. It is a compelling book filled with the mysterious work of God working behind the scenes to bring his redemption work to his people. Did you know that God isn't even mentioned in this book, though? That's right, his name is not mentioned, not even once. But there's more than meets the eye. The next couple of weeks, we'll get to see how God is still very much at work in seemingly impossible situations. Before we read the passage, here's some context. This book is set around 100 years after the Babylonian exile, honing in on a vibrant city, the capital of the Persian Empire named Susa. We'll see in this book that there is a small Jewish community living there after the exile, and that God will use Esther to help bring redemption to his people. So without further ado, let's jump into Esther 1. Now, in the days of Ahasuerus, the Ahasuerus who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces, in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in Susa, the citadel, in the third year of his reign, he gave a feast for all his officials and servants. The army of Persia and Media and the nobles and governors of the provinces were before him. While he showed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor and pomp of his greatness for many days, 180 days. And when these days were completed, the king gave for all the people present in Susa the citadel, both great and small, a feast lasting for 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were white cotton curtains and violet hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rods, and marble pillars and also couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. Drinks were served in golden vessels, vessels of different kinds, and the royal wine was lavished according to the bounty of the king. And drinking was according to this edict. There is no compulsion, for the king had given orders to all the staff of his palace to do as each man desired. Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the woman in the palace that belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abgatha, Zithar, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown, in order to show the peoples and the princes her beauty, for she was lovely to look at. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, delivered by the eunuchs. At this, the king became enraged, and his anger burned within him. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the times, for this was the king's procedure toward all who were versed in law and judgment, the men next to him being Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Miris, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who saw the king's face and sat first in the kingdom. According to the law, what is to be done to Queen Vashti, because she has not performed the command of King Ahasuerus delivered by the eunuchs? Then Memucan said in the presence of the king and the officials, not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but also against all the officials and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will be made known to all women, causing them to look at their husbands with contempt, since they will say, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come. This very day, the noble women of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's behavior will say the same to all the king's officials, and there will be contempt and wrath in plenty. If it please the king, let a royal order go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes so that it may not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. So when the decree made by the king is proclaimed throughout all the kingdom, for it is vast, all women who will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike. This advice pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to every province in its own script, and to every people in its own language, that every man be master in his own household and speak according to the language of his people. Amen. The book starts off with an introduction to King Ahasuerus, who reigned from India to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. That is massive. And to show off all of the riches of his royal glory and the splendor and pomp of his greatness, he gave a giant, giant feast. Not like a one-day Thanksgiving kind of feast, but basically a crazy party for 180 days. Yup, 180. That's like 6 months. And even after that, he had another 7-day feast for everyone in the king's palace, and it was extravagant. Lots of fine linen and rods, marble pillars, couches of gold and silver on mosaic pavements made with marble, mother of pearl, and precious stones. He even gave a big endorsement to drinking, making an edict to drink wine lavishly. So this is an extravagant, boastful, do-whatever-you-want kind of king. On one of his drunken days, he orders his wife, Queen Vashti, to come show the peoples and princes her beauty. Now, we don't know the reason why, but she refused. Maybe she didn't want to be paraded and be made known just for her looks and beauty. Maybe she's an introvert and rather stay at home. Or maybe she was having marital problems and wanted to reject her husband's request. We just don't know if her refusal was an upright and moral decision or an act of stubbornness. But regardless of her reasoning, the king gets super angry and enraged and basically casts her out. Some of the other princes and men that were with the king said, not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but against all the officials and all the people who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will be made known to all women, causing them to look at their husbands with contempt. The king took their advice and sent a letter to all the royal provinces that every man should be the master in his own household. And that's the end of chapter 1. Now, this is just the beginning of a greater story of the Book of Esther as a whole. But for now, we are left with this extravagant, drunken king who banished his queen wife and then made a crazy decree across his massive empire. Now, you may be asking, where is God in this? And how does this passage relate to me? From my personal reflections on this passage, I felt like God was highlighting how opposite his character is of this king. We are just coming out of Christmas season, where we reflected on the humility of Jesus, a baby born in the most ordinary of places. King Ahasuerus was extravagant and was boasting of his immense wealth. But Jesus came in humility, and he came to serve. The king wanted to show off the beauty of his wife to flaunt her around the most important political men in his royal regions. But Jesus came and loved women, those who were especially outcast and looked down on by society. He revealed his resurrection first to women. And regardless of if Queen Vashti's refusal was justified or not, when she disobeyed the king, he had no mercy, no compassion, and no understanding. He cast her out and listened to the voices of the men around him instead. When we disobey God, Jesus is filled with mercy, compassion, and understanding. He doesn't cast us out to make an example out of us for others. No, he welcomes us into his arms. As we kick off this new year, let us take time today to remember the character of God. Let us remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Pastor Barry at our New Year's Eve service said that knowing is different from remembering. And I think most of us know in our heads who God is and what Jesus did. But let's take time to pause and really remember. Remember that he saved a broken and undeserving people like you and me in his immense mercy and glorious grace. Let's pray. God, this is who you are. I'm reminded of the lyrics from the song, Who You Are, that says, you hear the cry of every broken heart. You give the hopeless soul a brand new start. You lead the captive in your freedom song. This is who you are. And in the night when all our hope is lost, you are the one who won't give up on us. You hold the orphan in your loving arms. This is who you are. So God, we remember who you are today. We remember your character. No matter what season we may be going through right now, I thank you that your character is steadfast and true, and that you are filled with humility, compassion, and grace for your people. We commit this day to you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.